Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political, or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power Packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to USWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Radio listeners, this is Selena Olivia, President of the Glory Campaign. You heard my voice twice during the commercial, but this is live. I'm coming to you live tonight on Rhema Remnant Radio. It's a great night. We are still in the Christmas holiday season in the last few days of the year and the month of December 2010. But we're looking forward to the great things that God is going to do in your life as ministers of the gospel of Christ for those of you who aren't in leadership will be listening regularly to this broadcast. We thank God for you. Tonight, I will be speaking in your hearing, as we say, as preachers. Integrity and ministry. This is a message that we are revisiting tonight. It's been spoken in previous times, but it's very, 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 very relevant to what is going on now in the United States and also internationally concerning the economy and the church's response to what's going on with the economy and the various things, the various effects of when money is turned a particular way, the effects it has on the culture, on things around, on how things around, and other matters like that. So integrity of ministry, we're approaching the message concerning the economy and how the church approaches it from the responsibility, from the aspect of the responsibility of us as preachers, pastors, overseers, bishops, teachers, prophets, evangelists, those of us who work in administration and the church, the local church, administration and major ministries, paraministries, what have you, how we respond to the economy. Oftentimes, in ministry, because there's a business aspect to it, a major aspect to it, we are tempted, and some of us go in that direction of approaching things that should be handled in a spiritual manner from a natural standpoint. Instead of being led by the Spirit, we're led by what would yield the best numbers in our opinion, rather than being led by the Spirit of God. And tonight, I want to encourage you to not only live a life of integrity, which actually breeds a ministry of integrity, because if you don't live right, you can operate in ministry right. And then people who operate in ministry and there is an outer appearance or a camouflage thing going on where it's a great facade, but their lifestyle is shady, handling money wrong, handling their relationships wrong, having side things going on. And it's time for us to get back to a place of holiness. It's spoken by many of the prophets of our day concerning the Great Awakening coming to the Church of God, where our mindset and our focus would no longer be on things to please ourselves, but to ultimately please and worship God, because that's what we're here for. And as ministers of the gospel, we must keep a focus on the essentials. And in turn, as we speak to the people of God, to the congregation, casually and over the pulpit, it will be in our conversation. Integrity, purity, wholeness, soundness, righteousness, holiness, all these things, the government of God, the way of God, the will of God, will be in our conversation and in our conduct. And I want to encourage you tonight for that to be a priority for you as ministers of the gospel, and it to be coupled with the reading of the Spirit, a compass for your life. Our founder and the host of this radio broadcast, Reverend LeVon Breland, will be coming on in the future broadcast speaking about a great message, 12 and compass. You want to listen in to Remnant Unit Radio. Keep listening in consistently. We'll give you updates on what's coming up, but you don't want to miss any of these next few broadcasts, as well as the year to come, 2011. Some great things coming to this broadcast, as well as our other broadcast, Spirit Street Talk Radio. If you're listening by internet, you have to leave the internet for any reason, you can call in. Yes, you can call in by your phone at 646-595-4877. That's 646-595-4877. And you can listen by phone whether you're off the road or you are getting your days ready for the week. You can have your earpiece, Bluetooth in your ear, listen to the radio broadcast tonight while you're getting ready for your week. Great tools, great technology option that we now have in this time, in this day and age, and smartphones have all types of things available to us that gives us no excuse to not have the Word of God in us and to not keep the Word of God in our ear. So, I'll just get right into the message. You all are in leadership and preaching, speaking to many creatures. So I'm not going to waste your time and get right into the message so we can get the meat out of the message and be able to apply it to our ministry lives. Faced with the economic downturn, this modern day type famine, that many would call, the call for integrity rings louder, gets heard dimmer in the hearts of too many leaders across the globe. Manipulation introduced by temptation has received a welcome as a more pulpit to satisfy the pockets of ones that are grief-stricken, who disrespect the God they represent and disappoint the person they mishandle, acting as the God of themselves, and many acting as God to those who they are to lead. Providing and supplying a life for themselves and often their families, a false sense of life. When will this cycle end? It is time for men and women of honor to hold our colleagues in the gospel accountable for their usury, change their mind, repent, and walk worthy of the vocation with a life and ministry of integrity. Integrity is explained in Hebrew origin as wholeness. We see in the scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24, reads, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your soul, your whole spirit, and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." He will sanctify you wholly. Integrity is explained in Hebrew origin also as prosperity in its entirety. 3 John verse 2, a verse we small film called Entry to Call. There's a bit in here. We talk about 1 John verse 2, it embodies the heart of God towards his people and his children. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Integrity starts with the prosperity of the soul. Integrity explained in Hebrew again is also purity. We see in 1 Timothy 4, the context of the scripture starts in verse 1. Paul is addressing Timothy, we all know, or have been acquainted with this chapter in these various verses. You read verse 1 through 11, he talks about how the Spirit speaks expressly that a lot of times we should depart from the faith, even to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies, forbidden to marry, but every creature is good. Talking about abstaining from meat, which God has created, for every creature of God is good, Paul says. Then he begins to say, you need to put the brethren in remembrance of these things, teach these things. And then he goes on to say, in verse 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach, he says. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and in purity. If you look at the scripture and look at the original definition of the Hebrew origin of the word integrity, purity is found in the scripture. Reads just that. Integrity is explained in English origin as soundness. We mentioned it a little bit earlier. It's explained in English origin as soundness. Soundness of mind, soundness of speech, and a decency in our conduct. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ for the will of God. According to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of my tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfound faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7 is the key verse. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. Paul encourages Timothy, do not be fearful concerning the things that are coming against. During this time, Paul and the apostles had great persecution. Persecution beyond what we face in this day. Persecution beyond media, disdain, media homicide, I guess you could say. In this day, many of our colleagues have been put down in media and put down by either Congress going after them, trying to audit them, for the wrong purpose, not to make sure things are right, but to find what's wrong and amplify and spread it across. But they dealt with a persecution that was more physical. They were actually thrown into prison, preaching the name of Jesus. But Paul encourages Timothy to not allow these things to cause fear in his heart, but says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. oftentimes integrity is compromised because of fear. We don't, we compromise to things that are brought to us by even those that are in the congregation. We compromise with the world bringing a secular aspect of flavor to the church. We hire people who are unsafe because they say that our numbers are going to be good. We hire people who go into business or negotiate things under a secular covering of gain for the purpose of numbers. What is that? That is not integrity. That is not God's will. Paul encourages Timothy, and I encourage you tonight, to not allow the numbers, not allow things of this earth, not allow the things that are controlled by the person of how they are, the enemy of the world, anything in your flesh, to cause you to compromise the integrity that God calls for, not only in us as children of God, but more so, because so much is being much is required in us as ministers of the gospel of Christ. Integrity is explained in English origin as soundness, soundness of mind, soundness of speech. In Titus chapter 2, verse 8, it reads, but to speak God's English becomes sound doctrine. Let the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound, and faith, and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not giving them much wine, teaching them good things, but they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keep it at home. Now this verse, I could preach a whole message on concerning the false interpretation that happens often in our churches. But it's not time for that. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. That's why all these things are to be taught. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober minded in all things, showing ourselves a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that is of the contrary part, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to speak of you. Make sure your speech is sound. Make sure your mind is sound to ensure integrity, not only across the pulpit, but in your daily lives and in your business transactions, in your board meetings. Integrity, despite what the numbers look like, according to what the world would say, according to what your flesh would say, but follow the Spirit of God. You cannot go wrong following the Spirit. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Would you rather be a son of God or one who claims to be a minister of the gospel but doesn't follow the Word of God, the very gospel that they preach, does not truly believe in the God that they supposedly represent? The choice is yours today. Integrity is explained in English origin also as decency. Decency yields from and to order. Order yields decency. Decency yields order. 1 Corinthians 14 and 40 reads, let all things be done decently and in order. Paul states this after giving instruction concerning the ministry gift operation and corporate worship. We also know that the same principle can be applied to the administrative gift that he mentions in them. Administration. It's very, very popular. It's a seriously dangerous fad going on in the church concerning secular counsel to administration. It's no longer being led by the Spirit. And I understand or I know part of the logic that's behind it, doing business with a business surety. Not going by functions and feelings and things like that, because there are many that have gone falsely. But our true security is in knowing the will of God, not by senses, not by, I think, not by, surety that we come to, the assurance that we have is in the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, knowing exactly what His will is. Not always in a general sense or limited to a general sense, but down to the detail. He orders the steps of his people. The scripture tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He knows the plan that he has for us, to prosper us and give us his expected. And if he knows the plans he has for us, if he takes that for application in our personal lives, why wouldn't he know the plan for his own ministry? Why wouldn't he know where to find where the finances are? He is a supplier. He is the one that gives provision. He's the one that gives the vision. So why wouldn't he provide for what he has given as far as vision is concerned for your ministry? Oftentimes we do all the side jargon and side manipulations and actions and conduct because we are funding our own agenda. It's not his. So in the back of our mind, we know it's really what we want to do, not necessarily what God has said. So we go in our own strength and say, okay, well, we can do this and do that to supply for what our agenda is. Almost like a first, like we know that if we go to him, he's going to give us correction and tell us to go what he said. So we avoid him. We avoid his way. We don't want to look at it like this. But that's exactly what we do, going in our own strength, having our own types of fundraisers, and getting frustrated when it fails because it was not his will in the beginning. It was a good idea, but as we say, it was not a God idea. It's time for us to be led by the Spirit of God, and integrity starts with being led by him. We also see in the scripture in Matthew 5:37, that it reads, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. This goes with sound speech. The manipulation and the vagueness and the deceit comes with that wavering talking, that wavering thinking. Scripture tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. It starts with the double mind, then he starts to talk double-minded. Starts to talk, as they say, out of his neck, saying one thing, but the actions show another. And not only the talk, but the actions. You tell the congregation to be honest and to give consistently to the work of Christ. But the money that they give, they might go to what you say it's going to. The money that they sow, you're telling them they're going to reap a harvest, but you are not ensuring that the ground is ripe and ripe for harvest. Time for integrity from the leaders of the kingdom of God in our life and in our ministry. James 5:12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Let it be an assurance, let it be an absoluteness, no wavering, no vagueness. He says, be holy as I am holy, and we're going to go into that later on in the lesson. Be right. It's time to be right. When our heart is set toward righteousness, even if there is a mistake, God is faithful to make that way straight. He is an awesome God, a faithful God. He has not changed. Man has changed. Man has changed according to culture. Man has changed according to time and what the numbers say and what they consider as the bottom line. But God has not changed. He is faithful. He is holy. He is just. He is righteous. And it says in scripture, we have King James Version term, it behooves us, or it's imperative for us, to be as he is, holy, righteous. God does not do any different from what he says. He does not say any different from what he does. He is a holy God. He is not schizophrenic. And sadly, we often reflect him again as schizophrenic us. We say, God has told us to do this for this year. And then in the month of April, we just change up. It's like, okay, did he say it or not? And we don't want to face these things as ministers. We want the congregation to follow us along with a leader. But we leave them on all these crooked ways of just going this way, going to the left, going to the right. And they're like, oh, well, I'm just following the man of God. But they get tired in the process because they're like, wait, okay, he took us here. Okay, we made the stop. That wasn't the right stop. Okay, we're going over here. Be sure. Hear the voice of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Take time, oftentimes, we spend too much time in the pulpit doing various things related to ministry, never having a break, so we don't hear God. We're an operational ministry. We're doing things over and over and over again in the resident, in the resident, in the resident. Wake up. Go to this meeting. Go to that meeting. Preach about this. Do this. Teach the Bible college. Do here. Go here. Radio broadcast. Go to visit this person in the hospital. Go to visit that person. Go to this wedding. Handle this wedding. Do this. And we're doing all these tasks. And there's never time. There's no time there. The only person I'm going to get is God. You know the situation concerning the church. Blah, 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 blah. We don't hear from him. We just say our piece and we go about it. Can you imagine picking up a phone? I don't like conversations that are one sided. It's not a conversation. I've been in such a conversation where you pick up the phone. All you get out is hello. The person just going on and on. You're like, oh, well, I'll talk to you later. All right. You'd be like, what was that? That was not the conversation. You could have left me a voicemail. And with technology, you can record something and send it via email. If it was going to be like that, don't call me. Don't waste my time. Give me a chance to listen to it in my own leisure. If it's going to be that type of communication where you're just sending information, it's a waste of time. Let's not do that to God. Let's give him ample time. It's not only for our good, but for the good of the people that we lead. How can you lead people to a place you haven't gone to yourself? Many of you know that I have had for many years a ministry in music. And still do to this day. And in the worship setting, oftentimes, ministers of music, out of frustration, which frustration is the flesh, out of frustration, we tell people what to do rather than showing them and leading them to the place that we've already gone. So we're not prayed up, we haven't done any type of praying. If we have then that one-sided stuff I just mentioned to you, so we get in the mic because we can sing, and I'm the worship leader, and I know what I'm doing. I've done this for years. We expect a certain response from the people. When we don't see the response from the flesh, of course, we're not seeing the spirit realm and seeing God operating and dealing with the hearts of the people. It could very well be, but we're not saying that because we're in the flesh. We just walk along and praise the Lord. And some of us having to get loud, trying to make the people do something that we want to see. It is not about what we want. The statement, it's not about us, refers to, it's not about what we want to see, particularly those things we want to see or want to happen that aren't in line with the will of God. And not even just the end result, but the method. Because many things, that's a lot of times in deception. We see something as an end result or a goal which has a good aspect to it. But the method that we take is in our flesh and in our own strength. So it's not one of those in justifying the main situation. Now, God's grace and mercy often comes into those types of situations, even with those of us that preach the word. We preach emphasizing things that we want people to respond to, and if they don't respond to something because we got a revelation, we repeat it. And we say it in a different way, trying to get a response when the ultimate thing is to get across what God has to. God is the one who knows what the people need. He knows what the congregation needs in order to grow. He knows what the congregation needs in order to operate in the spirit the way that he desires. It's as he wills, as we see in the book of Corinthians. Integrity is expressed in Scripture by Jesus, our ultimate example, the Son of God, the first of many brethren in Scripture. He is our Savior, he is our Lord, and he expresses integrity in Scripture by his conduct. By his communication. We'll take a look at it. Jesus in his communication to the disciples, as he taught them continuously, he unfolded the will of the Father whenever the opportunity presented itself. Often, the opportunity presented itself when dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees, these men of religious descent, years of education, years in the temple, years in operating in their, for lack of better words, clergy regimen and position. They were the clergy at that time. Just knew the scripture. They just knew what they were talking about. They just knew what they were talking about. But continued to find Jesus wherever he was and challenge him in all points. And he had an answer for them every time. If you look at the answers that Christ had for the Sadducees and Pharisees, he always dealt with their motives and their hearts. For the Pharisees and Sadducees, he answered their actions and questions with truth to their error. And the tempted snares, revealing their hearts, as Simeon prophesied to Mary, as recorded in Luke 2:35. Yea, a sword shall pierce thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Christ expressed that very prophetic statement. Jesus in his communication in authority. In Mark 12, verse 15 through 17, Jesus answered another snare attempted of the Pharisees with the statement and command, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God, as well as his coming before Pontius Pilate, just before his false accusation and suffering of the death of the cross as recorded. He approached the authorities of that time with integrity expressive. It's recorded in Mark 15, Matthew 27, Luke 23, and John 18. He was approached to positions of authority. He expressed it also in his unity with the Father. His unity with the Father in spirit, in word, and in deed. John 10:30, he said, I and my Father are one. John 5:30 says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. Indeed, it's expressed and demonstrated in John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. He said to his parents, I do the will of my Father. I'm handling my Father's business. When they came after him, as one of the first demonstrations that you see of him prioritizing the kingdom of God over natural things and family. To see what about in the temple, ended up teaching those who were doing it on him. Jesus was our example, and is our Lord and our Savior, always our example, ultimately. We quote Paul, we quote Peter, we quote the various ones in the scripture, but Jesus is our ultimate example as ministers of the gospel, as people of God, as the children of God, and oneness with the Father is demonstrated by him. He said he does nothing of himself, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why was his judgment just? Because he heard it from the Father. United with the Father in spirit and word and deed. Let us be united with the Father in spirit and word and in deed. It's a solution. It is a core to integrity in life and in ministry. We see integrity expressed by call to the churches in Romans and Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians 1 and 2. He pleaded for them the persecution and requirement toward he and the other persons of the ministry to walk worthy of their vocation. And he made statements of death to those of us in ministry, that the laity may live, and more, the congregation. Death to them. Integrity says, I sacrifice my own agenda for seeing what Christ has commissioned us to do come to pass, and the glory of God to be revealed in the earth. It doesn't matter what I want if it's not what God wants. Paul expresses integrity toward his quote-unquote sons in the faith, Timothy, Philemon, and Titus, as he mentioned, many times we refer to Paul as the father in the gospel because of this very reason, to the mentoring moment and that time with Timothy Solomon and Titus. Paul expresses integrity to those that he mentored, encouraging them to not let anyone decide by you, for them to communicate the faith without wavering, communicating sound speech, communicating sound doctrine to the congregations that they were responsible for. Integrity is exposed by anyone who engages in an integrity show of life to their home, to the church, which is not to take assembly, and to the world. At home, we are to show integrity, operate integrity. The scripture reads as such, 1 Timothy 3:5, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? We must express integrity in our homes, how we operate with our spouses, how we operate with our children, our siblings, our parents, if they're still here, and on, our family, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors. 1 Timothy 5 and 8 reads, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, worse than a sinner, if you provide not for your own house. Integrity says that whatever it takes, I will make sure that I'm doing my part to provide for my house in spirit, finances, socially, emotionally, all of those things provided for in your home. Oftentimes, as preachers, we're so caught up in the work of God that we forget the life of God in our home. Making sure that the love of God is shown for real towards our spouses, our children, making sure they see that we love them, making sure that they see that we care for them enough to prioritize them, spending time with them, all of the things that are necessary for healthy relationships. Woe to the man or woman who is in the ministry of God, but his family or her family does not see the love of God in them to the point of following God. How are you preaching the word of God and your family doesn't want the God you preach? Please take this time to look at yourself and examine, have I said something, have I done something that will cause them to not want my Jesus? And then ask yourself, do you want him? Do you present the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible that we study, in a way that you want him yourself? Are you convinced? Are you persuaded? When you're persuaded, your actions and conduct will show. Your speech will show when you are persuaded. As you're persuaded, your children will follow you. Your spouse will follow you when there is a sureness, when there's a soundness of speech, when integrity is sure and planted in your heart as a man, as a woman of God, that presents the gospel with a confidence that comes from a sure and genuine source. Your heart being one with God, being sure about the will of God and the way of God, seeking him with your whole heart, prioritizing your time with him and being your family, the love of God being shown in every moment and every day of your life. Integrity is exposed also to the church. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold but of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. We also see in the scripture in 1 Timothy 2, 4 through 6, the homecoming as unto a living, stone, which allowed and these are men, the chosen of God, and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. She is cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Her integrity is expressed in what the scripture calls a spiritual house. That's the house of God, we are built up a spiritual house. Holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Acceptable sacrifices of God to God are filled with integrity, a genuineness, authentic to what we genuinely desire of God toward Him, pleasing Him ultimately, not of ourselves, but by the Spirit of God. Integrity is also exposed to the world. Matthew 5, 13 through 14. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? And it henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden on the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our conduct, our life, our talk, our walk, really living this thing out, being holy, being righteous, being true sons of God. The world sees our confidence and our walk, and they want to know, where did you get this? What is this about? Who is this God that you talk about? I've heard about him. I've heard about Jesus, but it's something about how you live that makes me want to know what is it about him that causes you to be how you are, that causes you to walk how you walk. But it's confidence about you. You have this walk about you. You have this light about you. You don't want to drink. You have fun without drinking. You have a real relationship with your spouse. You don't want to cheat. You have a real relationship with your children. You don't pay them off. You don't let money and materialistic things babysit them. You don't let the children, babysit them. You really have a relationship with them. You spend quality time. And I can't seem to have my children. I have the time, but the time isn't quality. There's not a real connection there. That peace that I see with you, I want that. The world will see these things about us and want to know the God that has given us that peace. There are benefits to integrity. And the benefits of integrity embody benefits toward our mind state, which in turn affects our life and in turn affects our ministry. Integrity breeds or produces a peace of mind. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be careful for nothing but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye both learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace shall be with you. And all of these things, of your conduct and your speech and your thoughts, are all one with the Father, with the Word, with His will. And you make your requests known to God. Jesus talked about us asking what we will. Now, mind you, we must have the will of God a priority to us and our will be one with God's will. And as this is the case, and we ask what we will, it will be done. He said it will be done, that our joy might be full. As we ask and receive things come to pass, And before saying anything for the past, we have an assurance and soundness of mind. We wait for the day to manifest. We see it manifest. And it's a continual thing. And that's what the scripture says. I thought pure things, on other things, on just things. Things that are lovely, a good report, all things of praise. We think all these things. As we think, so are we. We're going to speak this way. We're going to walk this way. And it affects the world that we see. It affects our mind state as we continually practice thinking these things, speaking these things. Our mind reaches a place of soundness, and we move toward and closer to that place of rest that Hebrews 4 talks about. And it reaches the world, and we have an effectiveness in ministry that we would have never reached without having that state of mind. Another benefit to integrity is embodied in our lifestyle. Our reputation is affected, our health and our ministry is affected. You may not be liked, but your life and ministry will demand respect. It's a result that many of us have to come to. The popularity, the fame, our superstar mentality is getting old. It's not of God. It's ultimately about pleasing God. Resolve in your mind and in your heart that everybody is not going to like you, fool. But your life and ministry will demand respect. And your reverence toward God will cause effectiveness in your life. Integrity will affect your health. Determined by the soul's prosperity, the prosperity which in turn breeds the expression of ministerial soundness. Third John, verse 2 again. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And your ministry is affected by integrity. Your integrity ensures a clear channel for the liberty of the Spirit on all fronts, in ministry operation and daily application. Your integrity ensures a clear channel for the liberty of the Spirit on all fronts, in ministry operation and daily application. Integrity imperatives are a responsibility to responsiveness. Integrity says from the beginning, I will wait on his timing. Because it is as he wills, according to his will. This is applied in initiation of ministry operations. We take a look at Romans 12:6-8. Having been gifted for according to the grace that is given to us, or the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or on ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. We initiate ministry operation and in its integrity imperative or places the forefront responsibility to responsiveness. Integrity says, I will go by his leading. Not only I will wait on his time, but when the time comes, I will not leave his option, his power, his spirit. I will not go on my own strength, but I will go by his leading. As we operate in ministry gifts, we see in 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, with all these worketh that one in the self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Integrity concludes that it is over when God says it's over. 2 Timothy 4:6-8 says, for I am now ready to be offered at the time of my departure is at hand. These are the words of Paul. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Paul realizes that his assignment is completed according to the righteous judgment of the Lord. Being one spirit with him, he knew the timing of God and when his part was complete, just as Jesus did toward the end of his life and his earthly ministry. Paul knew that it was time. It was time. I want to encourage you tonight to end your daily application in life and decisions concerning ministry. That integrity is priority. An integrity-filled life and ministry pleases God. And if for no other reason you seek for that type of ministry operation and life operation, let it be because it pleases God, the one who is the reason for you being here. We are created to worship Him. We are created by Him and for Him. Let it be that your life and your ministry breathe integrity. We love your Urban Glory campaigns. We thank God for your continual listening, your giving, those of you who have given and partnered up with this ministry. You're going to hear some news in the future broadcast concerning some great things we have planned for those who partner with us in ministry at different levels of partnership and grace. So we thank God for you. I pray that you have a blessed night. I pray that this holiday season is a blessing toward you and a joyous time. Wherever you spend your New Year's Eve, whatever way you celebrate, for those of you who actually take this time to go away, and this is your sabbatical time, I pray you enjoy it. If you're listening to this broadcast live, I appreciate you staying up to listen to the broadcast. But I pray that you enjoy your time of getting rest and rejuvenation, and that there is a recreation aspect to it, recreation aspect to it, and you're able to hear the Lord concerning 2011 and even 2012 concerning your ministry. And you can contact us anytime for any prayer agreement concerns you have in ministry. Our founder is no novice to the sacred gift. He's no novice to ministry administration. You will hear in the future broadcast some commercials of a new, the official launch of a ministry operation called Inclusive Management Services, which is to help structure the church administration of our churches, but to also help be a catalyst for the growth, the spiritual growth of the local church, which ultimately affects the church at large and affects the world. So stay tuned to the next radio broadcast in this year, as well as 2011. We go on at 10 p.m. every Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. That will continue into next year. And stay tuned. So we have some great things in store. I pray that you will be blessed tonight. And if you have to wake up early like I do tomorrow, that you have sweet sleep, and you'll be very, very strengthened and able to go through the day joyfully with full energy, no sleepiness, in Jesus' name. So, we love your Urban Glory campaign. Stay tuned to Urban Glory Radio. That's it for tonight. This is Selena Olivia, president of the Urban Glory campaign, and I'm standing in for our host, Reverend Levon Boone, tonight. I hope you enjoyed the broadcast. As always, contact us. Let us know how the broadcast bless you. And if you would like for us to share that with the world, you can let us know that whether or not you want to share it with the world or not. Your compliments and comments and things of that nature, but pretty much whatever you tell us, we keep in-house. And we thank God for all of you who have communicated about how the broadcast would bless you. Have a great night. Tune in on Tuesday. Reverend Bushman will be speaking on Tuesday, and then Thursday, his birthday, he will be speaking. Fuazo, Thursday, December 30th, is the birthday of Reverend Breland, the host of this radio broadcast, the great founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and Urban Glory Campaigns Ministers Coalition and all the other ministry initiatives that we have here at UGC. I will not tell his age. You can tell his age if you would like when he comes on the air. But those of you who would like to wish him a happy birthday, call our main line, 202-630-4842. You can do it as soon as tonight. We will collect all of the birthday wishes and we'll put on a special recording for him and give it to him. So if you want to do it in that manner, or you can send an email and we'll add that to it as well. We have a spokesperson who will read your birthday wishes on a particular recording. So call 202-630-4842. Leave a message on our ministry voicemail. We'll make sure that he gets it. Now, it's limited, I believe, to 2 minutes. So don't go too long in 2 minutes. If you do, you have to call back. We don't want to be there. So keep it to 2 minutes. Write on the outline if you need to. I know we like to go as I'm going along right now. But just leave a message for him, wishing him a happy birthday. And I know he'll definitely enjoy that. Love you. Have a great night. Bye-bye.